This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, how to attract a steady stream of new customers, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is May the 7th through the 9th in San Diego and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's www.dreambizacademy.com.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are always great things. And anybody's business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. And as always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show, folks. My special guest is Christina Guerrero from TurboPup, and she recently appeared on Shark Tank. And let me tell you a little bit about Christina. Christina is the turbo creative and turbo talented visionary entrepreneur and founder of TurboPup, complete canine meal on the go. Christina graduated from the United States Air Force Academy in 2002. As a distinguished graduate of the U.S. Air Force pilot training, she went on to fly C-130s. Those are the big ones. She's a decorated U.S. Air Force veteran and proud recipient of two combat air medals for missions flown in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and Horn of Africa. With over 1,000 hours of community service, she returned to school to obtain a master's in occupational therapy in pursuit of a love of science. A life-changing backcountry trip in 2011 with her Duncan inspired her to create TurboPup in 2011. After 2 years of exhaustive research and development, Christina sold her first 28 bars to a local outdoor store in May 2013. Within 4 months, she sold over 3,000 TurboPup bars. TurboPup bars, that's hard to say fast. Nationally, while making the bars in her custom kitchen in Lapine, Oregon. TurboPup is continually growing under Christina's leadership, and when she's not nurturing TurboPup, Christina can be found working as an occupational therapist or volunteering for, Deschutes County Research and Bar Rescue. And you can correct me if I'm wrong in a second, Christina. Her life goal is to be the change. Christina founded TurboPup to be a catalyst for change and committed to donating 5% of the profits to organizations in support of veteran and canine causes. Christina, thank you so much for being my guest expert. I'm excited to talk to you.
Thank you, Jim. And it's Deschutes County.
Okay. I wasn't too far off.
You weren't. It was great. It was great.
And boy, and saying TurboPup many times in a row fast, that's actually a little tongue twister there.
I know. So, I haven't heard anybody do that before, so I'm like, ha, that's really funny.
First of all, thank you so much on behalf of all my listeners for your incredible service to our country. That C-130, is that the Galaxy, what they call, or is that but that's one of the big ones,
Hercules.
Right? Wow. And you haul, like, massive equipment, and it's like, is that the one where the nose opens up?
No. It's a much smaller one. It's actually called the C-130 Hercules. We haul, you probably get, it's been a while, maybe, like, two Humvees in the back.
Oh, gotcha.
So
it's
primarily a short range mission.
Wonderful. Well, what an accomplishment. I had someone in my program who also was in the Air Force, and after 25 years retired. So a lot of veterans are doing the entrepreneurial thing. How did you decide to? Was that truly just this awakening moment when you were hiking with your dog?
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, I went back to school to get my master's, as you talked about, and my goal was to start a nonprofit. And while I was in school, I was interning in a nonprofit, and I really had this kind of revelation that there were a lot of nonprofits, but I thought that what they really needed was money. So I kind of decided I want to be a philanthropist, and that kind of worked out interestingly in my head, because I was like, I don't think that's going to work. I have a lot of student loans. How can I best give back? And then I was like, well, if I started my own business, I might be able to make tons of money and give back. And it was just really funny, because it was very serendipitous. And it was all, you know, from the moment I said, all right, I'm going to be a philanthropist, till I had the idea, it was about a week. So it happened right away. And I very much believe in signs, and I was like, well, that was curious timing. And then, you know, the idea just really didn't get out of my head. And I was on top of the mountain, my dog was hungry. I kind of had this moment where I was like, you know, I take my dog everywhere. People, you know, when I grew up, I had a pet. You know, my dog stayed in my house, we walked the dog around the block. It was, you know, part of the family. But my dog that I adopted in 2006 is very much a sidekick. So he goes everywhere with me. We travel together. We hike together. We ski together. We just, you know, my dogs are a lot more than just my pets now. You know, we go on long distance runs. We just do so much that I really felt like there was a niche in the market that I could fill.
That's awesome. Hey, we re-rescued about, it's like 4 or 5 years ago now, a Beagle Basset. He's probably 12 years old now, so he's kind of slow, just likes to sleep. But I can't even walk out of the room. He'll just get up and slowly follow me and plop down wherever I go. He's just he even goes kayaking with me, and he hates water, but he loves me, and he gets in the front of my kayak, and we paddle around the lake together. So I know what you're saying about your constant companion.
I bet, you know, at the end of the day when you're done kayaking, you know, a few hours have gone by, and you know, that was kind of my moment of, you know, I'm eating a power bar, I'm hungry, so who's to say my dog isn't hungry, you know? And I think it's been interesting, because, you know, there's definitely a little bit of a change in consciousness with the concept, because I think, you know, people are starting to go, you know, that's right. Like, my dog's been out all day. Like, my dog is probably hungry. You know, even when I was living in Portland in the city, I would go out to go down the block to run a quick errand, and I would take my dog. And next thing I know, you know, I've been out for 4 hours. And Duncan, the dog who actually inspired Turbo Pup, he's a grazer. So he wouldn't eat prior to us going out quite often. And then, you know, a few hours have gone by and I don't have food and I'm not about to, you know, I'm far from home and the dog is hungry. And, you know, this is my little buddy. This is my pal, you know. I'm like, oh, I didn't feed my pal. Like, that's just, you know, it just started to kind of dawn on me, you know, my dog means so much to me. He goes everywhere with me. He's been an amazing inspiration. He's been an amazing part of my life. So what if I created something for him? And, you know, that was really important. That's really why I decided to create a premium product. So, you know, it's 100% American sourced, human grade ingredients. It's all natural. It's grain free. It's interchangeable with regular dog food. I mean, you can feed your Beagle Basset, you know, his regular food in the morning. And even if he has a sensitive stomach, you can give him a bar. And it's a full nutritional profile. So you give him a bar as a heavy snack or as a meal, you know, just depending on how you want to serve your dog, and then, you know, give him his regular food at home. So it's very much in the concept of, you know, it's kind of how you use a Clif Bar, kind of how you use a Power Bar, and it's just for your dog. And that's, again, why I decided to go with really premium ingredients, because what I wanted it to be was something that was safe on his stomach, that I knew wouldn't upset it. And that could be that kind of interchangeable quality.
Yeah. Now, when you made the bar and you felt like you were it took a while to perfect it. So then, what did you do? Figure out like, well, I guess I better go figure out who's going to sell them. And did you just go into your local outdoor store and introduce yourself, or how did that work out?
Yeah, actually, again, you know, again, that kind of the serendipitous moment happened where I, being an active outdoor enthusiast. I had, you know, there are a lot of local outdoor companies that I went to quite often and became really good friends with a lot of the employees. Well, what was funny is I had this amazing friend, John Rogers, at the U.S. Outdoor Store in Portland, and I had known him for about a year and a half before I even had, you know, a prototype available. By the time I had the prototype available, John had actually been promoted to the buyer for the store, which is just really cool. And so he actually was able to talk me through a lot of concepts I didn't know about. For example, I didn't know about minimum approved pricing, MSRPs, you know, Keystone, all of those concepts, and it was really neat. So the day I came out with my prototype, you know, I handed him that box of 28 bars, and he walked away with it, and that's kind of just how it got started.
That's so awesome. You know, there was somebody else on Shark Tank, and those guys love to hear those kind of, you know, simple bootstrapping, go knock on doors. I don't know if you remember the guy who sold that ratchet belt, and when he got off the plane in L.A., he went and knocked on like 30 doors and sold 30 belts. I remember Mark Cuban loved that. So it's some good old chutzpah, you know?
Yeah, I think that it's, I think that there's some really interesting pre-notions about kind of sales, because, you know, I get a lot of very enthusiastic and amazing emails. You know, people are like, oh, you should be in this store, you should be in this store. And I think what I learned after doing all of this is that, you know, there's definitely a gatekeeper for every store. And that's the trick, is to find the gatekeeper.
Yep. You know what? I was about to give you a marketing idea, but I want to interview you to give you some ideas.
Maybe yeah, the love done, one.
After we're done, I'll share some stuff with you.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. When you got started, did you then start selling them online to the Internet, or were you just really kind of married to the brick and mortar? Or, like, do you sell a lot online through yourself or just through other online retailers? Like, what kind of distribution do you have?
You know, that's a great question. When I first started, I actually was a retail-oriented business. And after Shark Tank, I became a consumer-oriented business. And that's actually one of my, in hindsight, moments where I wish I would have started the other way. I wish I would have spent more time working on direct sales and less time working on retail.
Yeah. You know, on when you appeared on the show, you did get a deal with Damon. Is that still going forward? Did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Damon's amazing. He's so fun to work with.
Yeah, I met him a couple years ago at a marketing event. He's a really super nice guy. And, you know, doggone, her name slipped my mind, but the woman who invented those moccasins, those little baby slippers, she got a deal with Damon also. And Damon, she shared with me, has just such a big heart. I mean, he kind of looks kind of maybe a little bit of gruff in all numbers on the show, but he's just such a guy that loves to help people. And I could see he was totally infatuated with your story of service as well.
That's so, you know, that is the perfect explanation for Damon. He is, I actually said that to somebody just asked me that the other day, and I used those same words. I said, Damon is a big-hearted man, and it's really humbling, really humbling.
So what, I don't know if you, and if I ask you a question you can't answer, please don't just say, hey, can't go there, but what kind of work are you doing now? What's going on with Damon now? Like, what kind of things are you putting into place to really expand your growth?
Yeah, I'm working with some other pet companies now who are, you know, real brilliant about the market, working with distributors. That's one of the, you know, big things that I hadn't, you know, really gotten down. So really making sure those systems are in place to make it available to bigger and bigger stores. We've had a lot of interest from a lot of big retailers. I'm not going to say who, but you know, one of the what we're waiting on is just getting the distribution all kind of set to go.
Was there a lot of interest on your own website or people emailing you after the show? Because a lot of times
yeah.
you hear there's just a huge spike in interest.
Yeah, I went from, so I basically created my shopping cart like the week before Shark Tank aired. And again, like I said, in hindsight, I look at it and go, I should have, you know, really gotten this nailed down prior, but and you know, basically going from zero sales to selling, you know, we sold so far just to consumers, we sold more than 15,000 bars. So that's a you know, it's not, you know, necessarily like over the top, but to go from zero to that in, you know, one week is I was excited about it.
That's awesome. So what was the process like? Talk a little bit about the casting process, when you decided to apply, and then kind of walk us through that of how you eventually finally ended up on the show.
Yeah, I actually am part of a lot of veteran organizations. Once I decided to pursue entrepreneurship, and also again going back to the part about me being in debt in school, I realized, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of resources out there. So one of the resources I partnered with is the Institute for Veterans and Military Families in Syracuse University. And they put on a veteran women's conference. I think it's like twice a year, and it's amazing. They do 3 days of conferences of just kind of all different masterminds, educational seminars, and it's $75 out of pocket for the women. Which I just think is just such an incredible experience to feel so supported by an organization. And I learned so much from them. And then I went on to actually win a grant from them a year later once I started selling. So the first time I went on, I just had the idea. And then a year later, I entered a City Salutes Realizing Your Dreams business plan competition. So I won money from them, and kind of being part of their program. 2 months after I had won the grant, I had gotten an email from almost all these individuals that were somehow directly connected with this program I had been a part of. And they said, you know, veteran, it was this email, and they said, Shark Tank is looking for veteran entrepreneurs. And, you know, again, being a person who sees signs, I got almost, I think it was like 7 emails in an hour, all with the same, you know, the Shark Tank is looking for veteran entrepreneurs. So I responded, and then, you know, that's kind of how the ball got rolling, and it was just, you know, one thing led to another.
And then I heard it's kind of like a lot of hurry up and wait. You're just kind of, you're not even sure if you're going to go on that day. Is that right?
You know, I don't know if I can say that part. I'm not going to say that part.
So when you showed up, Christina, you knew you were going on that day, or?
You know, I was under the impression that I'm not allowed to talk about like the actual that part of the process. So I'm going to go ahead and not. If another entrepreneur told you, it's good for them. But I gotta. Yeah.
Okay. Let me switch gears and ask you about the Turbo Pup. So you got the Power Bar, which is awesome. Are you planning to introduce new products, or are you going to spend a year or so, or whatever time getting that one ramped up?
Oh yeah, you know, we started because I'm sure you gathered it from the show, but because we started in the outdoor industry, one of the neat things was that, you know, they're like, okay, well, if I'm going to order from you, do you guys have some treats? And I'm like, no, we never thought about doing treats. So I started making treats, and those have actually gone over really well. And you know, one of the great things about our treats is they're, you know, there's no sugar. Super high in protein, pretty much have the same profile as the peanut butter ones. We'll probably change their names to snacks, but they're you know, really nutritious, like 18% protein. So they're fantastic. So the treat line, I actually I released that for Shark Tank, and then we're also working on, actually probably this weekend I'll start working on it, is a leisure line. So one of the things about my bars is that I made them more calorie dense because, you know, I was aiming at dogs who were hiking and you know, just like anything, you know, you could still eat it, it's just that it has more calories than might be necessary. So for example, my 260-pound dogs, if we go hiking, they'll get 3 2 packs a day, so a total of 6 bars. But if we're on a road trip and they're not doing a lot of exercise, then they'll get 2 2 packs a day, which is a total of 4 bars, right? So it's the difference between, you know, 1,000 calories and 1,500 calories. And it's just, I mean, animals can, you know, use energy, burn energy the same way humans do, as far as, you know, the more activity they do, the more calories they need. And the difference between animals that I think is really interesting, so being an occupational therapist, I also did a lot of research into, you know, what dogs' needs are, and did it, you know, looking for scientific scholarly journals. And one of the things I learned is that dogs actually metabolize protein and fats for their energy source versus humans who use more carbs. So I thought that was really cool. And so our bars are high in fat and protein, specifically geared toward dogs. And so, you know, coming out with this leisure line, they'll be, you know, just less calories and kind of more geared toward people who, you know, are going on road trips, who are traveling, who might be in airports, you know, convenience stores. So it's pretty exciting to kind of, you know, be able to be in a space where I actually can brainstorm this stuff, and you know, Damon has provided me with an amazing team that can kind of, you know, help me launch things a lot faster.
Are you still making these in your kitchen, or do you have them being made for you now?
Oh yeah, no, we moved to a co-packer in May. I wouldn't have even gotten on the show. I would personally not have went on the show if we were still making them out of our kitchen.
I can't imagine. I mean, the size of the mixing bowls and stuff, that must have been a quite an experience.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. We've got about another 3 or 4 minutes here. Are you using social media to gain some publicity, or what are you doing in the online world?
Yeah, so that's been a huge change for me. Again, you know, it really goes back to the whole going from retail-oriented to an immediate shift towards consumer-oriented. So that's something that I've been really working on, is boosting social media, getting people on Facebook, you know, getting newsletters, getting information out. I've been asking, you know, my Facebook audience their opinions. They helped me with a box. I'll probably ask them what flavors, you know, they would recommend for the leisure line. So, yes, I've been using that. I've been trying to up that.
That's awesome. You know, there's probably a lot of, there's so many social media platforms, as say, from Facebook. I imagine Pinterest would be, Instagram would be big for you. You know, so there's a lot of ways you could use that, too. So last question I have is, obviously with your military training and everything, you're a hard driver. You know, you probably don't sleep that much like most entrepreneurs, but as your business ramps up and grows, are you still able to maintain kind of a nice lifestyle, get out there and exercise and hike and things like that, or is this kind of becoming all-consuming for a little while?
You know, that's a great question, because that's super important to me. And one of the things, the first thing I did, I'm constantly assessing everything. So, you know, I'm analyzing, assessing, prioritizing, and executing. And that's something I learned in the military. And what I've done is I'll constantly assess, okay, you know, what am I doing right now? What do I want to be doing? And what do I need to give away? So one of the very first big decisions I made was almost a week and a half after the show, of just, you know, trying to become this fulfillment center, is I outsourced fulfillment to a local fulfillment center in my town. So it's great, because I know the guys who run it. You know, I gave my office admin person way more responsibility, and I've just been trying to focus on all the stuff that I actually want to do. And what's really neat is, as I'm sure every entrepreneur feels this way, is that it's a never-ending learning process. So I do continue, like I carve out time every day to try to read an article or five on, you know, entrepreneurship. And something I read just recently that I just want to share real quick is that I read something that said entrepreneurs, one of the, like, it was just advice, and it said that you should have a good morning routine. And I've just started implementing that week, a good morning consistent routine, and it's actually helped a lot, just as far as me waking up and not, like, jumping out of bed and checking my emails and doing all that stuff, because, as you know, Damon's team is on the East Coast, and I'm on the West Coast. So I try to, I kind of have this mindset where I want to, like, first thing I want to do is make sure I get all my East Coast emails out and then, you know, stop and think. And so now I've, you know, kind of started this great morning routine. And yeah, even I was totally slammed after Shark Tank. I mean, it became all consuming, but I made sure I carved out time every day to go to the gym. And I started skiing once a week again, just because I think it's important to decompress, because I think that's when the best ideas come.
Absolutely. You know what? I have an expression. I have never had a brilliant idea for a product promotion or anything in my office. Mine always come when I'm out kayaking or walking or, you know, whatever I'm doing, but it's never at work. You know what I mean? So it really pays.
Totally.
It's kind of like, you know, I liken it to pulling the plug on the bathtub. All of a sudden, all the ideas start flowing when you walk out of your office.
Yes, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Well, awesome. It's been such a joy and treat to interview you. And how can people find out more about you and order some Turbo Pups?
Yeah, please do. Please go to our Facebook page. We've got a Twitter page, and we're at turbopup.com.
Turbopup.com. That's easy. I think it's not one of those mile-long URLs. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Christina, thank you so much for being my guest expert this week. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. It was such a pleasure, and I appreciate your time.
Sure. Now, you hang on for a minute. Let me finish up, and I'm going to share some stuff off the air with you. Okay, hold on.
I would love that.
Okay. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with rock star entrepreneur Christina Guerrero from Turbo Pup. Stick Like Glue is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Be sure to check out Dream Business Academy, that is dreambizacademy.com, for information on my next event, which is coming up very soon. It's May 7th, 8th, and 9th in beautiful San Diego. If you're an entrepreneur and you want to grow a more profitable business faster, you need to be there. As we're doing this interview, we have 11 seats left, so go to dreambizacademy.com. And that is a wrap. Watch for another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep smiling, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.